Chaim is suggesting that the Jews had every right to be duplicitous to Paro, and that although one of the most important foundations of Torah is Emes, in general you must keep your agreements. So much so, you know, the story in Shoftim, that when they conquered the land and all the various nations were afraid of them, they were all falling in battle before the Jews. So the Givonim hatched a plot. Yeah, they hatched a plot. They pretended they were smart, and they were afraid they'd be wiped out. They didn't know the halacha that they could accept, that they could make peace. But they thought that they're just going to be wiped out. So they pretended to come from a distant place, and they wore torn garments and so on and so forth. They gave the impression that they were a distant place, and they wanted to make a treaty with the Jewish nation, and they tricked them, and they made a treaty. Then they found out that they were really Givonim, and that they weren't supposed to make a treaty with them, that they were supposed to kill them. And it was a treaty that was made on the false premises, pretenses, and they weren't bound to keep it, but nevertheless they kept it because of the Chilul Hashem. Even though, in point of fact, it wouldn't have been a chil. I mean, it would have been a chil Hashem, but in point of fact, it was deceit, and they weren't bound to keep it. If we make an agreement, if I'm to purchase something in some of the certain terms, then it turns out that the cars don't have all these things, and it's phony. I don't have to keep the agreement. It was on the false pretenses. If I make an agreement, then I have to keep the agreement. I can't change my mind. Then I'm breaking my word. But if it turns out it's a phony agreement, you know, like these subprime mortgages and whatever it is, and the person thought that this is the rate, but he didn't realize it's going to be changing, it's not a fixed rate, you can change your mind up until the point where you give your word. But once you give your word, you're bound to keep it. You can't change your mind. However, there are cases where you are permitted to lie or to deceive. You can use all of these different things. That is a situation where somebody is oppressing you. For example, in a situation like the Holocaust, where Jews are being killed, and in order to save a life, to tell a lie, to enter some agreement with Nazis in order to free Jews, and then you're not going to keep the agreement. I mean, I'm not going into the practicalities, and then they'll kill. Let's just assume that you told a lie. And you save Jews. That's a big mitzvah. You see? Because you don't owe that person the truth. So I'm not saying there's no situation in which it would not be permitted to lie. I'm not saying that. Clearly, to the contrary. At the time of the Holocaust, whatever, anything that could have been done, and even promises and agreements, if you do this, we'll do that. And then you save them. And if you couldn't do it, so what? I mean, I don't have to keep... For example, with terrorists, and they're holding Jewish lives, and you make agreements. Now, I'm not going into the practicalities. If you don't keep your agreement this time, so next time. Put that aside. I know that's what other people will say. But yeah, but if you break your agreement, so then next time they won't negotiate. Let's put that aside. Let's assume that there won't be a next time. But... yeah, tell them anything. You can make up any story. You can make any promise you want because you're doing it to save lives. Now, thus it's being suggested that that's what Moshe did, that the Paro had no right to enslave the Jews, agreed. They were enslaved, suffering, prevented from having... You have no right to take people and make them into slaves. So Moshe did this as a ploy. And once they were free, they were... that's it. We're not gonna come back. You don't like it? We lied to you? Yeah, of course we lied to you. But what right did you have to treat us this way? And that was the method that we used to get out. Is that a good answer? The only problem with that answer is that, see, in a situation, if it's just me, if the Jews had done this on their own, if the Jews had gone to Paro on their own without any instruction from Moshe or any intervention from God, and they worked out some kind of a ploy to escape, and then they didn't keep their words, then I would say it's fine. But this was from Hashem. That's because the Jews are weak and they have no other way of saving themselves, and he's doing an evil to me. I have a right to escape from the evil. whatever, I don't owe you the truth. Why do I owe you the truth in this situation? You're acting in a corrupt manner. You have no rights. When I have to be truthful to you, it presupposes that you have a right. You have a right to sell your product. I have a right to purchase it, and we have to conform to certain rules. So I'm violating your right. But if I'm lying to escape from your torture, so of course I have. What right do you have to torture me? I don't owe you anything. I would agree if that's something that the Jews did on their own, then because they had no other way, then it would be justified. But this was from Hashem. Hashem had other ways. Hashem could have just taken him out. That's what we're trying. That is to say that it's a different situation. Hashem could have just taken them out. Hashem could have demanded openly, let them go, and then backed it up. Well, why? Hashem doesn't have to resort to these tricks. So if that's the case, it seems that Moshe came, negotiated with Paro in good faith. Seems he negotiated with Paro in good faith. In fact, we see, I've mentioned this many times, that whenever Paro couldn't take it and he called on Moshe to just stop the frogs or whatever it was and I'll let them go, and Moshe says, fine, well, just tell me when. Moshe never says, no, first let them go, and then I'll... He immediately stops the plague, immediately, whenever Paro wants, and then Paro gets stubborn again. So, it seems that this was the will of Hashem, to go to Paro and to make this thing, and that's the case. One would think that they would be bound. Well, why set up a condition that you have no intention of keeping? That I could see, as I said once again, if I'm doing it and I'm weak, I have no other way, so I come up with a trick. I convince you to let me go, and I'll come back. Fine. I have a right to do it. But this is not that situation. This comes from Hashem. Hashem doesn't have to do this. You're saying Hashem was limited, that Hashem had to use a trick to get Paro to let them go? I think that the Rav asked this question, although I haven't seen it in any of the writings. But I heard, Mipi Hashmua, as they say. That is, that what if he would have agreed? So what about all the plans? That the Jews are supposed to become a separate nation and the land of Israel, the whole thing. Let's assume he would have agreed. Then they would have gone for 3 days and they would have come back. What was the gain? From that question, it appears that the Rav understood it that way. That is to say that the Jews would keep their agreement. That this was not duplicitous, that this was not a trick. That this was real, and that they put this before Paro, and if Paro would have agreed, then the Jews would have had to keep their word. If that's the case, we see that when the Jews did leave, they had no intention of coming back. Eventually, he did send them out, and they had no intention of coming back. Various answers are given. I have my own answer to this. I want to share with you. This is in Bo in Shmos. Perek Yud. This is the last discussion between Moshe and Paro pertaining to the request. It's right after Choshech. And that's when they have another breakdown of negotiations. Paro calls to Moshe after the Choshech for 3 days of Choshech. U'l'chol b'nei Yisrael ha'yor b'mosh v'osam. Then v'yom l'chu ivdu es Hashem. So at this point in time, he says, go worship God. Not go free. He's willing to concede now. But keep your animals behind. He concedes the children. You can take the children with you, but you can't take the animals with you. That's a hedge. Because, you know, he's suspicious they're not going to come back. Moshe says, you too will place in our hands sacrifices, v'yasinu l'ad Hashem elokeinu, and we'll offer them to the Lord our God. V'gam miknenu yelech imano. But he doesn't concede on this point.
What pasuk is that?
V'gam miknenu yelech imano, lo tisha parsa, ki mimenu nikach, lav aras Hashem elokeinu, v'anachnu lo neidam anavod, es Hashem ad bo'enu shama. That's the point that I made before, that he's saying we don't know what the God's going to want from us. God hardened his heart and he didn't want to send them. But then something unusual happens. Vayomer lo Paro lech me'olai. And Paro says, leave. Kicks him out. Hishama lecha al tosef ro'os panai. Guard yourself, do not see my face. Ki biyom ro'oscha panai tamos. Because on the day that you see my face, you will die. Very interesting. Now, and Moshe says, Kein dibarta, you've spoken correctly. Lo osef od ro'os panecha. Now, why is that so significant, this whole discussion? And that lo osef od ro'os panecha. Who cares? I mean, what's the difference? It seems like Paro's a little petulant over here, and he's getting a little upset with him, and he's threatening him. And Moshe's saying, fine, no problem. Then, Vayom Hashem al Moshe, this is chapter 11. Od nega echad avi al Paro, avi al Mitzrayim. I'm going to bring one more plague. Achrechein yeshalach eschem, and afterwards he will send you from here. Keshalcho, and when he sends you, kola, goresh, yegoresh. It'll be complete. He will drive you, garish, garish, like a garishin. Garishin is like a divorce. He will divorce you. Also, what does that mean? Then, at that point, God gives the command to tell the people that they should ask their neighbors for, you know, gifts, for clothing, for jewelry, etc. That was, of course, to fulfill the promise that v'yachrichen yetzer b'chush gadol, that they'll leave with great wealth. And then Moshe informs Paro what's going to happen. Okay? Kachatzos halayla ani yotzei b'soch Mitzrayim. Then he tells us to Paro. And there'll be a night of tzaka gadola, the screaming and the terror. And all your servants will come down to me and bow down to me, saying, "Say ata v'chol am asher b'raglecha, leave. You should all leave. Yachrechein etzei, and afterwards I will go. Vayetzei mi'im Paro b'chariyof, and he leaves from Paro, b'chariyof, in anger. Then you have the discussion about the mitzvos of the night, the Karban Pesach, and so forth. That takes up a lot of space. But then later on, in chapter Yud Beis, after describing the mitzvah of the Karban Pesach, and so forth, and this is Vayibachti Alayla, Vashem Hika Kol B'chor B'yaret Mitzrayim, B'chor Paro Yoshev Al Kiso, Ad B'chor Ashvi Hashem B'veis Abor, V'chol B'chor B'heva. Yakam Paro Layla, Hu V'chol Avada, V'chol Mitzrayim, Vati Tzaka G'dolu B'mitzrayim, Ki Ein Bayes Hashayin Sham Meis. Okay, then this is Vayikra L'Moshe Uli Aaron, Layla. They called Moshe and Aaron, that is Paro did. Vayomer Kumu Tzu Mitochami. Get up and go out from my people. Gam Atem Gam B'nei Yisrael. Also you, also the B'nei Yisrael. Ulechu Ivdu as Hashem Kedaberchem. And go serve Hashem as you have spoken. Gam Tzonchem Gam Akarchem Kechu. Kashe Dibartem Valechu. Uveirachtem Gam Osi. He asks for a bracha himself. Rashi says that he shouldn't die by this plague. V'techazak Mitzrayim al ha'am, l'maher l'shalcham min ha'aretz. And they were all imposed themselves. They pressured the Jews to leave right away. Ki amru kolanu mesim. So I want to say that this was not the idea. For example, the Rambam says that the punishment of Paro was that God took away his free will. And that he couldn't agree, he couldn't give in. Because when a person reaches a certain level of rishus, then it's possible that God, very rare, but it's possible that God will take away his free will so that he shouldn't do tshuva. And because God wants him to be destroyed.
So why does he even ask?
According to the Rambam, that's the whole point, to demonstrate that a person can reach this stage, that a person should be, that's part of the story of Bechira, that a person has to be very careful about his Bechira, and that that's one of the ways that God punishes the wicked. But if that's the case, then how do you explain the fact that here Paro is letting him go? See, because this was not an agreement. This was different. In the other cases, that's why I explained. Why did Moshe, for example, when when Paro asks by the Tzfardim, just remove this and I'll let them go. Why does Moshe say, okay, start letting them go, then I'll remove it? Moshe always removes the Makkah. Then Paro has the Harvacha, he has a little Revach, and then he gets stubborn. Because he was giving him a chance. He was giving him a chance. In other words, the purpose of the Makkah was to demonstrate God's power, to make an impression, but not that he should give in under the pressure of the Makkah itself, because that's not an agreement. That's meaningless. If anybody, a free will decision is a decision which I make with
not
a certain...
Not under pressure.
Not under pressure. I can think it over. All right, it's true. Now you demonstrated your power, but now I want you to sit back and think it over. Not under. But if I... You know, if you take someone and you have a saw and you're chopping off his arm and then he'll agree to anything. That's not a free will agreement. That's simply I can't take the pain anymore. So that's why Moshe didn't do that to Paro. Moshe didn't say let them go now, because then it wouldn't have been a decision of Paro. So that's what I'm saying. What happened on the night? You see, on this night, Moshe doesn't say I'm going to stop the. A plague. This happens under the pressure of that plague, the terror, Tzaka Gedola, when all the firstborn are dying, and then there's this tremendous terror, so they let the Jews go because of the tremendous terror. That wasn't part of the deal anymore. That wasn't part of the deal. The deal was up to the nine plagues. That was the deal. That I'm coming to you, we're negotiating, and this is the agreement, this is all we're asking, and if you agree to that, we'll keep our word. But Paro didn't. When Paro refused to accept Hashem, and that was the whole idea, and that's how the Rav answered it. The Rav said that, what do you mean? If Paro would have agreed, it would have meant that he accepted Hashem, and if he would have accepted Hashem as the God, then of course he would have joined the Jewish people, and that would have ended the day where he would never have enslaved them anymore. That was the whole idea. To give Paro the opportunity to accept Hashem, and then he would have changed as well. The whole world would have accepted Hashem, but Paro didn't. You see? But that's when he says to Moshe, in my opinion, don't see me anymore, that's it, negotiations are off. Then we're no longer negotiating. So after that point, now God's going to take action. You refuse to let them go. You refuse to accept what you should have accepted. You refuse to accept Hashem. And that's why you couldn't let them go. That's what Moshe says. You're right, I won't see your face. It's over. That's why the Torah records that. That's over. Phase is over. Now, this is what's going to happen. And you're not going to have any choice in the matter. Once that... So you didn't give us permission to go. You just broke down completely. That's it. You were defeated by God. That's the spoils of war. You were defeated. That's why I think it says, Kol Garish Yigarish Eschem Mizeh. He's going to drive you out. That's Gerishin. That's a divorce. You don't have to come back anymore. So the Jews did negotiate in good faith. That is, it wasn't a trick. It was, and in point of fact, it didn't work that way. In point of fact, at the end of the day, it was Makas Becharos that got them out of there. But originally, when God came to him, with an opportunity to recognize the truth that everybody should serve Hashem and let these people go and let them serve Hashem. Had that been the case, then the Jews would not have just used that as an excuse to sneak away. They would not have. But after the ninth plague, that's when Paro said, that's it, it's over, we're not negotiating anymore. This is no more negotiations. And if you come, I'll kill you. So Moshe said, fine. And then Hashem tells him about Makas Becharos. And Moshe tells them, your servants will come to me and they'll beg me. They'll come begging me. And they'll ask, you know, and indeed, that's Paro said, Uverachtem Gamosi, go. Now, Paro may have thought that they were bound by the agreement after that. He may have thought so. He may have chased after them. But in point of fact, they weren't bound because this was not part of the agreement anymore.
Is that why Paro chased them?
Paro, again, see, it's interesting. Paro reverts back to his old position. So when Paro let them go, it wasn't because he recognized God. It wasn't a recognition of God. If it was a recognition of God, then they would keep the agreement because he recognized God. He only let them go because he couldn't take the pain. But once that pain was gone, again, he hardened his heart. And what happened? Then they all started to say, what did we do? Why did we let them go? We're losing all this work. But then immediately the emotions reasserted themselves in spite of what they had just gone through. You'd think they'd had enough of the Jews. And they came chasing after them. They couldn't let go of that feeling of mastery. They couldn't let go of that feeling. So, indeed, the Jews were not bound to go back. That's my opinion. To summarize, what we're saying is that Moshe didn't lie. That Moshe only asked for an opportunity for the Jews to serve Hashem. Had Paro made a free-willed decision on that basis, because of the plagues or whatever it was, and he would have agreed to the terms, then the Jews would have been bound to the terms. But at the end of the day, after the ninth plague, Paro terminated the negotiations. That's an important point. He said, it's over. He's not going to agree to negotiate. And if you try to talk to me, I'll have you killed. At that point, all was over. That's it. It's off the table, so to speak. Then Hashem simply used the Yod HaChazakah. Then Hashem brought out the Yod HaChazakah, so to speak. Until now, those other Makos were but nothing compared to Makos Bechoros. There were ways a person could escape from each one. Even in the Choshech, you could escape. I mean, it's true, it was very painful and all that, but so you sat still for 3 days. It was scary. But when it came to the Makos Bechoros, that was it. They had no Bechira whatsoever. They couldn't take the pain, the screaming, the terror, and they just let the Jews go. So there was no terms. That was because of the pain. You let them go. That wasn't what we were negotiating about. So then, so the Jews didn't have to come back. And I think that's what Hashem was telling him. Kala garish garish. That's Gerishin. He'll drive you out because he can't take the pain. And this has nothing to do with the agreements that have been made until now. That's my interpretation. The Rav, as I understand it or remember it, said that because if you ask the question, well, what if Paro would have agreed? So his answer was, had Paro agreed, then that would have been good, because that would have meant he recognized Hashem and he would have joined together. And together they would have served Hashem. Egypt would have served Hashem too. That was the crux of the issue. He couldn't recognize Hashem. And that's what prevented him from letting the Jews go. But had he, in order for him to let the Jews go, he would have had to recognize Hashem. Hashem did not harden Paro's heart for the Makos Bechoros, to prevent the Makos Bechoros from getting to him. He did not. Whereas in the other cases, God gave him a certain emotional strength that he didn't cave in. But when it came to Makos Bechoros, God did not harden the heart. That was Paro. He was crushed by that. He couldn't deal with it. He had to let him go. So I'm saying that then that's it. The Jews didn't know him anything. That wasn't an agreed upon departure. Under negotiated terms. That was complete surrender.
Then why harden his heart?
The idea at Kriyas Yamsuf is a different idea. Had Paro, God didn't want to destroy Paro at the outset, or Egypt. V'yadu Mitzrayim ken yed Hashem. And the point was that Paro should recognize Hashem. That was the whole idea, that the world should recognize Hashem. Had they done so, then that would have been the Kiddush Hashem. But since they did not, and since they chose to follow their stubbornness and their emotions, so then God will make a Kiddush Hashem the other way, through destroying them. That they'll chase after, because they were denying Hashem, they'll chase after and they'll try to destroy you, and they'll say that this was not from Hashem, that all this happened was just an accident, in spite of how absurd that seems. It's just an act, doesn't mean anything. And then they'll be destroyed. And when the wicked are destroyed, that's another avenue to Kiddush Hashem. V'kav d'b'far v'chal chelo. V'yadu Mitzrayim ken yed Hashem, and Egypt will know. So God always gives man an opportunity to know. In point of fact, we do see, to summarize this, that the real objective of Hashem in Egypt and so forth was that they should all recognize Hashem. It says so many times that God, I'm going to increase my signs. V'yadu Mitzrayim, and Mitzrayim should know that I am Hashem, because God wants the world. Everybody should know. And it's being pointed out that at the end of the day, when the Jews left, the many Egyptians, they're referred to as the Erev Rav. Generally speaking, they're referred to that way in a negative connotation. And Rashi, a lot of the problems, the rebellions in the wilderness, Attributed to them. But I don't know that it means that every Egyptian, first of all, it's not true that every Jew in the wilderness was a righteous person and didn't rebel, and it's not true that every Egyptian was a wicked person. I mean, you had the element, the phenomenon of Gerim, that there were people that did see the truth. But that was the objective, and indeed, they were given a chance to recognize Hashem. And had they recognized Hashem, then all the Jews were asking for was for 3 days, and so on and so forth. And however, it doesn't mean that then that would have been the end of the story, and then the Jews would have gone back to being slaves. And no, it means that if they'd achieved that recognition, then they would have joined together. And they would have elevated the Jews. And they would have served Hashem too. Maybe the whole plan would have been different. Who knows what God's plan. And, you see, but it wasn't, we're saying it wasn't a trick to get them to let them go, and that God didn't have to resort to that. However, in point of fact, what I'm saying is that they didn't allow the Jews to go in accordance with the agreement, accordance with those terms. Rather, they failed. After 9 attempts, Paro threatened Moshe. That's it. The negotiations were over. He terminated the negotiations, and that was the end of that. And then something new happens. Okay, you refused. So now Hashem brings out, so to speak, it's like the nuclear weapon. And they couldn't withstand. But that once they let them go because of the pain of Machas Bechoras, they're not entitled to anything in return. That wasn't a negotiated settlement. The idea that this was that the Jews had no intention of keeping their word and they were just going to escape. It seems to me it's problematical for a different reason, because that would contradict the whole objective of the Yad Mitzrayim Keni Yad Hashem, to sanctify God's name in Egypt. That was the purpose. If that's the purpose, so even if you say that the Jews had a right to use trickery to get out of there because it wasn't fair, even if you say that, then you can't say that your objective is to sanctify the name of God, because the way that was the argument of Moshe with the Egel, Lo Mayomer Mitzrayim, that the Egyptians will say, even though it's not true, but they'll say that God killed them because he couldn't bring them into the land. So then God would operate with them in a manner of truth, so that they couldn't say that the Jews are liars, and then this is a God that approves of lying. That would diminish from the whole thing.
Can you put that passage again that you just said?